Service with the opening hymn as printed in the light blue order of service, which you'll find in your hymnals. If you would please arise in body or in spirit. Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Winona. My name is Jim Armstrong. I've been a member for 13 years with my wife Laura and my daughters Dot and Pippa. I serve on the Sunday Service Committee. If you're new to our Sunday Fellowship, we especially welcome you. We hope you enjoy our service and we invite you to stay for coffee and conversation. Are there any introductions by our greeter or any who would like to introduce themselves? I don't think so.
Recognizable faces.
We do have a couple of announcements. The fellowship needs two more people to help with refreshments in the next two Sundays. Please sign up on the clipboard being passed. If you have any questions, ask Carolyn Collins. And John Collins has what he advertises as a long announcement.
Thank you, Dick. What we do in May determines the quality of the January programming. And all of us are familiar with the fourth principle, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And then there was a man who was the pastor at the UU Church in Ann Arbor who said, each of us must develop our own theology. Each of us must see where in the world we can do some good. Each of us must determine our own destiny. And you know, I wandered in here 12, 13 years ago, not really fully appreciating those concepts. The freedom to develop our own spiritual journey. And so this survey form that we're passing out today and each of the next two Sundays, the first three Sundays of May, are the survey Sundays of the Unitarian Fellowship. And this survey form, it'll give you a chance to choose from 20 different themes for the year. And we want you to put down two or three that you particularly like or that you might even suggest. And those are the things that really guide us for our June planning. And I think those of you who have presented here at the fellowship realize how useful that is for yourself and for us. And so we hope that you'll take the advantage to list some topics that you'd like to present as well. And finally, at the very bottom, it should probably be at the top, are any ideas you have to strengthen and support our musical programming. So for today and for the next two Sundays, Survey Sunday, and when you finish your survey, put it in this red basket in the back on the table. There are five pencils. Only one of them has an eraser, so when you commit yourself to something, that means you're probably stuck, okay? You can't change your mind, okay? So you can take this home and still bring it next week, or you can fill it out today, whatever is good for you, okay?
What about those people at home who might be listening to this recording?
They're going to have to show up next Sunday and get their own individualized form that I can initial for them.
Thank you, John. This is our annual Flower Communion Sunday, and I found a on the internet. But this, let's preface this by saying I'm not all that organized today, and I got here without the service. But thank goodness for the internet, because it exists on the internet in a much more expanded and interesting form. These are the opening words that were traditionally said before the flower service, and I thought I would read them because they're kind of nice while I place these flowers that Fred just found back there. Children of the earth and sky, we are nurtured, sustained, given warmth and light from above and below. Supported by earth's strong, firm crust, we build our homes, till the fields, plant our gardens and orchards. When we turn from self and seek to be aware, we will find holy light in human faces, in blossom, birdsong, and sky. Then earth is truly our home, and we are one with all earth's creatures, parents of earth's children yet to be. At this time, we will affirm our community by saying together the chalice reading as printed in the order of service. We have come together today.
Now is the time to make this our place. We are Unitarian Universalists.
We light this chalice. It is our symbol. It represents all of the important things which make us who we are and which hold us together. Let us create our space together and make for ourselves a safe place to grow and learn and to be fully who we are. And now we're going to sing hymn number 63, which, by coincidence, is the traditional hymn of the traditional Unitarian flower service. Spring has now unwrapped the flowers. Shell in the water in commemoration of our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of life. We invite you now to place a shell in the water in celebration of or in concern for a person or an event in your life that we may share in your joy or give you comfort in your sorrow.
I'm very happy to report that my niece will be coming to work for the Great River Shakespeare Festival. And so I'm just so tickled. So anyway, she'll be staying with us for a while. Well, after 5 long years, my grandson is graduating from college.
I'll say a little something about this later as well, but this is a joy. Laura, the one thing Laura wanted for her birthday this year was to have a chance to go to Art in Bloom at the MIA, the Minnesota Institute of Arts, which is, I'll talk more about that, but we had a wonderful time. We went up, spent the night in the Twin Cities, and then went in the morning to the museum and spent almost all day there with Pippa. And it was just a wonderful experience, but I really, you know, sometimes we forget those cultural institutions and how important they are and how much, you know, work goes into maintaining and curating them. But it's great to live in a state that has such a wonderful art museum.
This is a joy, and I don't know if it's a concern or just a need to connect with the Amish community that Jay and I are building a home, and we keep going out to Utica and getting cabinets and connecting with the Amish community members. And Mary Kine is an Amish woman who has a greenhouse that we visited a couple weeks ago and bought some plants there. And she has 12 children, and she's lovely, and yet I just get this gut feeling that she needs more adults around her, and women to just come and say how beautiful her flowers are growing, and to just, you know, connect with her. So if you ever get a chance to go to Utica and buy some flowers and tell her how lovely her children look and how beautiful her flowers are and how happy we are that spring has come. There's cards here to do that on the back table.
Well, 45 years ago, Anton and Doran Novotsky and their two preschool children, they packed their picnic lunch and they drove off toward the park in Slovakia, Bratislava, Slovakia. And they kept on driving and they ended up in Columbia, Missouri. And when we moved to Columbia, Missouri a few years later, I didn't have very many tools, which I still don't have very many. And I went over and borrowed something from Dory, and I said, and we had just a great conversation. And when I came back to Carol, I said, we're really going to love these neighbors. Dory took her life about 10 years ago because she had a very strong profession in Slovakia, and she was never able to really recover from that, I don't think. And Anton, at this moment, is dying in Bratislava, as he's back visiting with his family there. And this place is, Dora gave this to us some decades ago, so this is for them. Thank
We will now take a moment of silence for these joys and concerns, both spoken and unspoken. Flowers are freely given to the world, and we should take their example. We affirm our fellowship and its service to the larger world through our generous gifts as we pass the offertory baskets. If you're giving a portion of your pledge in cash, please put it in an envelope and note that. And now with the children, and boy, are we lucky to have you guys today. When you walked in the door, I just about ran up and kissed you, but I didn't.
Just about applauded.
Yeah. We're so glad you're here. We have a story for you. I know. Lucky you don't have to have class today. You stay with us, so. This is called On Meadowview Street. All right. It looks like a nice neighborhood. It was a big day. Carolyn and her family were moving into their new house on Meadowview Street. After things were unpacked, Carolyn's dad decided the grass was too tall and got busy mowing the lawn. Carolyn was about to explore the new street to see if there was a meadow on Meadowview Street when she noticed a small blossom. "It's beautiful," Carolyn said to herself, and all alone. The mower was getting closer. Carolyn thought, "I'd better do something quick." The mower came to a halt. "Daddy, couldn't you mow around my flower?" "Hmm," he said, thinking. "Well, it's less mowing for me." That's what I would say. Caroline raced inside the house. She poked around the boxes in the basement. "Aha!" she smiled. "Some string and some sticks. Just what I need." Before long, she had made a wildflower preserve. Then she noticed another flower had bloomed nearby. She's making the fence bigger, you see that? Her preserve got bigger and bigger and bigger. "That butterfly seems to like my little garden," Caroline thought happily. As the grass grew taller, more flowers popped up all over the yard. Soon there were different kinds and different colors everywhere. Carolyn's dad had a great idea for the mower for sale. One day, Carolyn sat in her preserve in the heat of the sun. "My garden needs a shady spot," she said. "A shady spot sounds nice," replied Carolyn's mom. Soon a truck made a delivery. Carolyn's mom took pictures. "Welcome to your new home," said Caroline to the maple tree. The next day, Caroline admired the maple tree. A wren landed on the end of her shovel. "Oh, you're looking for a home too," said Caroline. Caroline and her dad got to work. They found some plans for building birdhouses. Caroline helped cut the wood and nail the pieces together. I noticed she's wearing her safety goggles. That's good. Good advice. Perfect, thought Caroline. So did the wren. In no time, there were birds and insects everywhere around the tree, zipping among the flowers. Soon the wren house was full of twigs for a nest. Caroline wanted one more thing. "We need a place where everyone can get a drink of water," she said. The next day, she and her dad began building a pond. They dug a large, shallow hole and lined it with a heavy plastic sheet. Caroline added plants that liked living in water. She lugged large rocks to the edge, making ledges and little caverns for creatures to live in. The more Caroline and her family worked on their yard, the more it changed. It was now a home to many things. And soon the Jackson's yard changed, and the Smith's, and the Soto's. There really was a meadow on Meadowview Street. Look at all the things they have. They have a ladybird and a swallow, a salamander, a bat, oh my gosh, a dragonfly, a mouse. What else do you see? Butterfly.
A cuckoo house.
Yeah, it's a cuckoo house.
And hummingbirds.
Hummingbirds and turtles. Yeah.
And I see a boathouse too.
Yep.
And snakes.
Absolutely.
And
a home for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's the end. You don't have to leave. You can stay with us because we're going to have a flower ceremony. Oh, it'll be fun, I promise. I understand. So, about 150 million years ago. What was around about 150 million years ago? Right. Dinosaurs. And not a whole lot else. But there were conifers, so pine trees, and ferns, and mosses. That's about it. There were no flowers on the planet. No flowers anywhere. No colors. Worse, there were no fruits. No apples, no pears, no peaches, no grapes, no melons, nothing. And no vegetables either. That was before the birth of the angiosperms, which are the family of plants which we see represented here and which represent most of what we eat and most of what we consume in various ways. So we often talk about the interdependent web of life. It's our seventh principle. It's a very important principle. But we often don't say much about it. But when you think about us living on this little membrane, this several kilometer deep layer around this rocky planet that we evolved from, we don't often talk about how this web didn't start out the way it is now, right? It wasn't always this way. It was much simpler. But about 150 million years ago, the first flowering plants came, and scientists think that perhaps it had to do with a little wasp having a relationship with a little plant on a little island. And the deal was the wasp would spread the pollen from this plant to various other plants, which was a pretty good deal for the plants, because what is the thing about plants? They can't walk. They can't go anywhere. Plants are the original stay-at-home people, right? They have no legs. So if they want to travel, if they want to see the world, they have to rely upon the animals. So the little wasp carried the pollen to other plants and other places where there were other plants. And what did the wasp get out of this? A little droplet of nectar, right? A little sweet something. So the gift economy of the flowering world is to give sweetness in exchange for mobility, right? It's the original exchange of, well, it's just a wonderful gift economy that we would say exchanges. You've got these stay-at-home plants, and they will give something beautiful or something sweet in exchange for getting around. And also having sexual variety, which is very important, so that their genetics can grow and change. We all need variety in this world. I remember one time I was sitting in a poetry class, and there had been a big George O'Keefe show at the Chicago Art Institute, and we were talking about it, and this one woman who was somewhat of a conservative said, "Oh, George O'Keefe, she's so disgusting. She paints those flowers as if it's all about sex, sex, sex." And we kind of looked at her and we went, well. But so the function of flowers is to involve mobile animals in their reproduction, which means both their change and in their spreading as well. So that the insects early on were recruited to do this job because flowers are very attractive to them. So this idea of exchanging beauty, you know, for mobility, for variety. And what's interesting about that is Michael Pollan once commented that we amazingly share the same tastes as bees and wasps. We love the same things, we love the same beauty, and these flowers are all infrared landing instructions for bees, right? And the whole idea of this competition of beauty is to attract bees. But we are attracted equally as well, because we were, as early primates, you know, living in trees, and that's why we have binocular vision and these wonderful opposable thumbs. We like to collect fruits. We are fruit collectors. And so we developed with the bees the same love of the same kinds of things. So the flower economy is part of what gave rise to who we are. We're co-evolved with the flowers and with beauty. And that's why I think they've become such an important symbol to us religiously. As I said, I was at the Art in Bloom event in the Twin Cities, and what that is that the flower guilds all around the Twin Cities are challenged. They're given each, you know, like it's often the florist, the professional florist, but also the Ikebana guilds and the Daffodil Society and the Chrysanthemum Society. Who knew there were so many societies dedicated to flowers, right? They're given a painting or a sculpture, and they're told to do a flower arrangement that somehow echoes or interacts. Has anyone ever been to this event?
I have.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
And you spend the whole day, Laura said, it's the most wonderful thing because it's everything I like. It's flowers, it's art, and it's a scavenger hunt. How could you lose, right? So we walked around the museum checking off, you know, and then you get to vote on your favorite one. So, but then why would we do this? You know, what a crazy way to expend energy. You know, and if you think about how we've co-evolved with the flowers and that their gift economy is basic to our spiritual understanding of the world. They give their beauty freely, but it's also an exchange. Because these flowers, none of these occur in nature, or few of them, right? These have continued their evolutionary process by becoming more and more interesting to us. And we have encouraged them. And the reason they're here is because they're beautiful. And they know that we like beauty. And so we bring them, we give them. They're part of that interdependent web, which is not just about food and not just about, you know, shelter, but also about beauty. If that makes sense. So that's my little introduction to the Unitarian Universalist Flower Communion Service, which we're about to celebrate, which originated in 1923 by Norbert Chapek, I guess is how you say it, founder of the Unitarian movement in Czechoslovakia. On the last Sunday before summer recess of the Unitarian Church in Prague, all the children and adults participated in this ritual, which gave concrete expression to the humanity-affirming principles of our liberal faith. When the Nazis took control of Prague in 1940, they found Dr. Chapek's gospel of the inherent worth and beauty of every human person to be, as Nazi court records show, too dangerous to the Reich Dr. Chapek, to be allowed to live. So he was sent to Dachau, where he was killed during a Nazi medical experiment. So this gentle man suffered a cruel death, but his message of human hope and decency lives on through this flower communion, which is widely celebrated today. It is a noble and meaningful ritual which we are about to recreate. The service includes the original prayer of Dr. Chapek to help us remember the principles and dreams for which he died. Whenever he would conduct his flower communion, he would say this proverb as he consecrated the flowers. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessing on these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts to be one in desire and affection and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationships. May we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do thy work in this world. So it's time now for us to share in this flower community. So I would ask our three wonderful children if they would like to come forward and give everyone in this congregation a flower. And maybe, Nancy, should we have some, like, tinkling music?
Yeah.
So if you guys would come and give everybody a flower. Or maybe just one of you.
Well, I think Kelly will too.
Yes, once one of you gets started, the others will. Everybody too, if you want. Yeah, grab some of those.
five flowers and you give them the baby flowers.
listen now to Dr. Chapek's Flower Communion Prayer. In the name of Providence, which implants in the seed the future of the tree, and in the hearts of men and women, the longing for people living in human love. In the name of the highest in whom we move, and who makes the mother and the father and the brother and the sister what they are. In the name of sages and great religious leaders who sacrifice their lives to hasten the coming of peace and justice. Let us renew our resolution, sincerely to be real brothers and sisters, regardless of any kind of bar which estranges us from each other. In this holy resolution, may we be strengthened, knowing that we are in one family, in one spirit. The spirit of love unites us, and may we endeavor for a more perfect and more joyful life. And I thought I would also read, in the spirit of this children's book, which is so powerful, this idea that we spare the flowers, right? I thought I'd read a great poem by Robert Frost. I went to turn the grass once after one who mowed it in the dew before the sun. The dew was gone that made his blade so keen before I came to view the leveled scene. I looked for him behind an aisle of trees. I listened for his whetstone on the breeze, but he had gone his way, the grass all mown. And I must be, as he had been, alone. As all must be, I said within my heart, whether they work together or apart. But as I said it, swift there passed me by, on noiseless wing, a bewildered butterfly, seeking with memories grown dim or night, some resting flower of yesterday's delight. And once I marked his flight go round and round, as where some flowers lay withering on the ground. And then he flew as far as I could see, and then on tremulous wing came back to me. I thought of questions that have no reply, and would have turned to toss the grass to dry. But he turned first and led my eye to look at a tall tuft of flowers beside a brook, a leaping tongue of bloom the scythe has spared, beside a reedy brook the scythe had bared. I left my place to know them by their name, finding them butterfly weed when I came. The mower in the dew had loved them thus, by leaving them to flourish not for us, nor yet to draw one thought of ours to him, but from sheer morning gladness at the brim. The butterfly and I had lit upon, nevertheless, a message from the dawn that made me hear the wakening birds around, and hear his long scythe whispering to the ground, and feel a spirit kindred to my own, so that henceforth I worked no more alone, but glad with him I worked as with his aid, and weary sought at noon with him the shade, and dreaming, as it were, held brotherly speech with one whose thought I had not hoped to reach. Men work together, I told him, from the heart, whether they work together or apart. And one of the theories about flowers is that their, as I said, their beauty interacts with us so deeply, and we preserve them therefore. And my daughter has a bumper sticker that she put on my car, and she's also on her, this is my older daughter, Dot, and also has in her dorm room, it's, "Beauty will save the world." And perhaps that is true. Certainly saved the flowers, and perhaps they're saving us. So let us now rise and sing hymn number 76.
Oh,
Please be seated for music, followed by a brief period for silent meditation. And I would encourage you in your silent meditation, since we have had such a late spring, I had the idea this morning that perhaps each of us should think of our favorite flower. And as we're meditating, just give it a little encouragement. Tell it to come on out. It's okay. Before we finish, I would like to again thank the children for helping us today, and thank them for bringing these lovely, lovely paper flowers, which I think are quite astounding. For our closing words, just before death, just before he was put to death in Dachau, Dr. Šapek wrote this prayer, reflecting on his own life and the state of his spirit. It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. O blow, ye evil winds, into my body's fire. My soul you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the fight, and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul, my life was worth living. He who was pressed from all sides but remained victorious in spirit is welcomed into the choir of heroes. He who overcame the fetters giving wing to the mind is entering into the golden age of the victorious. Go in peace.